Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know most traditional creams or serums are made up of about 70% water? 15% going into emulsifiers and preservative, and that makes up the goo of the cream. And that leaves only 15% for active ingredients that truly benefit your skin. But there is a better way. Enter Fiber Skincare, a groundbreaking technology set to redefine skincare. Fiber Skincare harnesses nanofibers. They're tiny natural fibers, 500 times smaller than a human hair. And their scientists have been working on this technology for the past 15 years and just a year ago achieved a remarkable breakthrough encapsulating active ingredients directly into these natural nanofibers. So the result is a formulation free from water, emulsifiers, and preservatives, meaning the active ingredients are not just pure, but five times the concentration of most creams or serums. Their first formulation is an anti-wrinkle, and it's not just effective, it is fast. Upon the application, your skin feels tighter in a mere 10 seconds. That's right, you can feel the difference almost instantly, but that's just the start. Over the next 7 days, these concentrated actives unfold their full potential, clinically proven to improve wrinkles by 19.4%. It's worth checking out their Instagram, Fiber Skincare, F-I-B-E-R Skincare, to learn more about the technology and how it works. You might have seen some viral videos of the mask's disappearing effect, and it's easier to apply this by wetting your face, applying the patch, and removing it. The nanofiber, which contains the active ingredients, disappears into the skin super quickly. Experience the transformation for yourself with their 2-day trial pack. It's a precursor for the 7-day program that promises not just results, but a revolution in your skincare routine. With their tighter skin guarantee, your satisfaction is not just expected, it's assured. And if you try the 7-day program and your skin doesn't feel tighter, you'll receive a full refund, no questions asked. They have clinically tested the program to be the most effective if you use the 1 week on, 3 weeks off. But we understand that everyone's skincare routine is different. That's why if you sign up for their monthly program, they will send you their monthly pack to remind you to do it. And you can pause or cancel it at any time, and it gives you the control of your skincare journey. If you want to try this revolution in skincare, go to fiberskincare.com and use code 2, T-W-O, for 15% off. That's fiberskincare.com and use code 2, T-W-O, for 15% off.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. This is Mary from the Bay.
And it's Courtney from LA. And you guys, we have been talking about, we are so excited. We're hoping she doesn't clip us and that we can make it nice. Please welcome Dorinda Medley to Two Judgy Girls.
Yay! Yes, I've forgiven you. I understand.
Thank God. I was so nervous.
I don't respond much to stuff on Instagram. I try to keep on the down. I see. You know, I'm the scary type. I'm like the shark in the water. I see everything. I just eat rarely.
I know. We got a bite.
I was like, I hope she understands. If this was just a joke, it's really because we're like missing you on the show, you know? And so, we're here to talk about something else because Tuesday, August 17th, your new book, Make It Nice, is going to be released. Can you tell us all about that? Like why you decided to write now, what the process was?
Well, I think, well, you know, it's timing is everything. I think in all different ways, you know, good and bad, timing is everything. And I think that was what was so interesting after I was put on pause, the famous pause word, that Simon & Schuster came to me and they, you know, they'd been asked kind of, we've been talking about it, but after that period, when I was back up here, we'd already been back up in, I'd been back up in the Berkshire since like March, and it just sort of all came together. You know, I sort of didn't film this year. Plus they said, why don't you take the time to write the book? And I was like, you know what? This is a sign. You know, it's really was sort of what, when one door closes, another one opens, you know what I mean? And I just thought, we're in such a reflective time. I am such a person that's always going, 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 that I've never sort of, you know, I'm always living, that I never stop just to sort of enjoy the what I've done or reflect on what I've done. And I think all of us did a lot of that during COVID as it is.
Yeah.
So I was up here at Bluestone Manor, which I also found really telling, because I'm thinking, God, I've been all over the world. I spent so much of my childhood thinking, how do I get out of this place? Like, I'm not going to be one of these people. And here I was back in this shutdown in the world, instead of a shutdown in my career at BravoCon for a pause. And I thought, what a great time to just come full circle.
Yeah, definitely. And
I during that time, I started to spend a lot of time again with my parents in a way I hadn't since childhood. You know, I see my parents a lot, but it's always very rushed. Hey, mom. Yeah. Oh, my God. I've got people coming. You know, I come up on a Friday morning, go grocery shopping, see them on a Saturday morning, have a big dinner party on Saturday night when people are staying. Get up, have a brunch, say goodbye to my parents, go back to New York. But all of a sudden during COVID, I found myself sort of hanging out with them and getting in my old fashioned routine that I used to know and love, that raised me, that made me who I am today. And I just was like, that's right. Like, this was my life. And my mother plays such a center stage in it and always has. But I didn't realize how much of a, you know, what a great foundation she is, and how she just provided me with such strong tools to get through life. Like, I didn't know I had such great building tools, but she definitely provided them for me. And it's sort of It's sort of an ode to her, you know?
Yeah. No, you grew up in like such a traditional way. I am from San Francisco. I'm Irish Catholic. I'm Mary Catherine Mahoney. So I feel like I was like, wait, I feel like I'm reading about someone I know, you know, and I really liked how we went in like chronological order in the book and learned all about your upbringing and being Catholic and the Sincalas. So we know that your sister's still in town, mom and dad. Where are your brothers now?
My brother Johnny is in Boston and my brother Dean is in Potomac. And it's very interesting writing the book. That's also what I realized. So my mother, you see these families that have, this one doesn't talk to that one, or this one's so different, so they don't talk. My mother managed to raise four absolute individuals. We were somehow raised as individuals within a unit, but we moved as a caterpillar, right?
Right.
And we all to this day, although we're very different and we've taken very different paths, we're all still very close. My mother is the Concorde back to youth. The minute you get on that plane, you are Diane Sincala's children. You do not fight. You do not support each other. You do not speak badly to each other. And we follow those rules very, very closely.
What did she think about like the show, like being on reality TV?
My mother's, I always say my mother's sort of like a rapper in that way. She's always been like, are you making good money? Well, then keep it going. You know? She's that old Italian, you know,
yeah.
She's the old Italian's making lasagna in the kitchen with a mattress full of money in the back, you know?
Yes. Yes.
I love that. I love that. I love what
and
you
my
talked
mother,
about.
You know, as okay. old fashioned as she is, she's kind of gangster in herself.
Is that where you, that's where I think you get it from, right?
Yeah. My mother is, all my one-liners come from my mother. And my mother is one of these people that goes to church every day. She truly, there will be no in between earth and heaven or whatever we go. It's just going to be immediate because she's practically a walking saint. Mm-hmm. But boy, oh boy, don't cross Diane Sincala.
I love that.
She will not do much, but she will never forget. We can go to a grocery store and someone's in a wheelchair. She goes, you see her? Oh, I remember what she did. She didn't pay your grandfather 25 years ago. I don't think I've forgotten it. Oh, hello. How are you doing? Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's old school.
I love that. I mean, you talked about it a lot, and you talked about when you were in your first season of New York too, that like you were always mentioning your mom's advice. So what's like the single best thing you think she's like ever advised you about, or kind of one of her sayings?
Well, I think one of the most helpful bit of advice she gave me is after Richard passed, I was so devastated. I felt so cheated. I felt, you know, like, I said to my mother, you know, I was actually up here. I was like, I don't get it. You know, I've been a good girl. I did all the rules. I followed all the sayings. I've never been dishonest. And look at me. I'm 46 years old. My daughter's in college. My husband's dead. Now what? You know, because you can get like that. And my mother said, you know, let me tell you something. During this in college, she said, if Richard Medley came to you 8 years ago and said, I am going to be with you for 8 years. I am going to love your child as my own. You're going to have a wonderful life with me, but now I need to go. Would you have done it? I said, well, yes. She goes, well, that's what you got. Everything's got a beginning, middle, and an end, and you're not in charge of the timing. Mm-hmm. And my mother, she's got such a beautiful, I think when we grow up ethnic, which I did, they have such a great understanding of birth and death and stuff. It's not that it's almost one, like I was looking at my mother's closet the other day. And I know what to say, the Christmas linens, the Easter linens, the linens when people died, you know, those camp, the linens when they had a baptism, mm-hmm. but there it is all in one closet. And that's life. It's right. A closet filled with good, bad, but you pull out the linens when you need to. Right.
Right.
And my mother's very good about that. She's very good at consoling, but making sure you get on with it.
Well, I think that's like about being Catholic, like being Catholic is such an integral part of your life. And, you know, they celebrate death and like you're coming up to heaven and you're coming to God.
And as I've gotten older, you know, I definitely still go to church and all that. I'm Catholic, but I'll always be a Catholic, but I'm more spiritual. You know, I think religion is just something that's some people have yoga. Some people have. You know, as my mother always said, the Ten Commandments are good for nothing else, but they'll keep you out of jail. And just, you know.
Yeah, they're the rules, yeah.
You know, and I tend to be a rule-based person anyway. You know, I do well in structure and in rules. I'm not sort of like, I get up every morning at the same. It's just who I am. It's not good for everyone, right. But it works for me. I don't do well with a sort of loosey-goosey, unstructured life. In fact, when I was downtown in Chelsea the other day, it was really funny because this guy, Mel, his name is, he's like Rihanna's stylist. I'm in Chelsea and I'm walking through and he's like, there's the unicorn, because I even dressed a certain way that I looked so out of, I got out of the Uber and I'm like, what are all these people dressed for? Does no one get dressed for the day?
I think that's in COVID. No.
Dorinda, you wrote in the book that you used to walk the dogs in your pajamas.
In the morning. Only in the morning, early.
Do you think that's from being like when you lived in London? Because you were saying like London and New York are just two different lifestyles, right? When you came back from London, you said, you know, you dressed Hannah up for this birthday party and you expected all the moms to be there. And it was these nannies and a pizza, you know, and a whole pizza.
I think the fact that I lived in London almost 10 years really created a sense of order that I probably wouldn't have had. You know, and I think I was there in some of the most important years. So, you know, I moved there at 26 and left at like 36. Those are hugely formative years for a woman, mm-hmm. and being a wife and a mother and homemaker, and I learned so many great skills and was exposed to so many great things that I, you know, so by the time I returned to the US, I kind of had a little kit of how I envisioned my life. And it, you know, it kind of works. I said to someone, my friend Heather Kirzner, who still lives there, but is now moving back. I said, we were acting, she's been a friend of mine for 27 years. I said, we were acting like old people when we were 26. I mean, I remember I got pregnant with Hannah. And I was like, oh my God, I went and bought myself. I'll never forget it. I was 3 months pregnant. I bought myself two Chanel jackets. Okay. That were like size 42, which at the time was huge because I was tiny, or 40. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll just wear them till the end of my pregnancy because I have to look really great. You know what I mean? Like, what was I thinking?
Right, right, right. Wait, how often do you see or talk to Ralph now, your first husband?
All the time.
Yeah.
Ralph is part of my family.
Yeah. I know, like him being with Richard at the end, just pretty epic.
Yeah. You know, I think a mistake people make, people think, you know, divorce is death. It's not. I mean, I think that was like season something, wasn't it? But I think divorce is, you know, it just means you're no longer want to cohabitate together and don't have the same life goals. But it doesn't certainly mean you have to. I mean, we shared Hannah. What a great gift that it just, and he's happily married and has been happily married. And I was happily married. So I just think it was a good decision. We don't regret it. And we don't regret our time together. I do not regret marrying Ralph at all because he's a great father. And at that time in my life, he was a perfect choice.
Right. Wait, now, okay. When you went abroad with him, you got a promise ring. Were you a little upset that it wasn't the engagement ring?
No.
No, you just knew that was going to come. So it was fine.
Yeah. Because, you know, I just knew Ralph and I knew he sort of back then investment banking and stuff, they didn't give you a lot of time. I think to tell you the truth, I think we got sort of the promise ring or the semi-engagement ring because he wanted me to come abroad with him. But, you know, Lehman was like on a Monday, we want you to move. Back then they used to literally tell you that day, we want you to move to London. And like that following week, you move to London or Hong Kong or Austria, wherever. Because you got to remember back then, investment banks didn't have offices in Europe and stuff. So they were opening. It's not like now,
right,
where you anywhere in the world you can find an American Express. You know, you got to remember there were no cell phones even back then.
Right.
It's hard to believe that.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, my God, I got to move to, I think it was Hong Kong at first. It was Hong Kong. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, do you think you can come? I'm like, well, I don't think I can come unless we get engaged or something. He's like, well, okay, then I guess we'll get engaged. But it wasn't, we were young too. You know, I think I look at us. God,
you met him and you were wearing braces.
Correct.
Loved that. I just loved that.
I mean, what was that? Who knows what he was even attracted to? But we were both earnest and, you know, we wanted the same things. And Ralph wasn't a player either.
I think it's also like you were young. Like, honestly, reading your book, I kept thinking, like, what part? Like, I had to be reminded every time you kept saying, like, I was 25, I was 26, I was 27, because you lived this life of like where that is somebody's entire life, right? And you did that within like 7 years, six years. You said that you have like 6 year formative period.
You know, I was saying to someone the other day, someone said to me, was Richard, were you only married to Richard for 6 years? I said, yes. I said, but it was fast and furious. Like, so much of my life, it may have only been 6 years, but we packed in a lot of fucking life in that 6 years.
It sounded like a blast. I mean, I was reading, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to the Met Gala. You know, he's taking you to Tao on that first date.
That was like the classic, like older Richard man trying fun. To schmooze a younger woman, a real estate agent.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I was a great real estate agent too.
Would you ever do that again? Go back into
real
estate?
Yes, in a second.
Yes.
In a second.
Listen, I have some spin-off ideas for you if you ever wanted to go back into reality TV, and that's one of them is, you know, real estate with Dorinda. I think that could be a really good one. I think we could do a Durobic spin-off.
I think, yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to go on in the future?
We also think
you could do a Berkshires. You could invite people to stay at the home for the weekend. You could teach them etiquette while they're there, how
Can
to make it
imagine
nice.
Imagine if they had a bunch of women come stay at the Berkshires for like a week.
I volunteer.
It's literally,
how
I
great
mean,
would that concept be?
It would literally, like, I think it might.
Well, you know what I love about the Berkshires? It's sort of a living, breathing character now.
It was like the eighth housewife at the point, you know?
It was so funny when I was put on pause, whatever that word is, okay? Pause. I literally had to tell Bluestone Manor. I had to tell Len because Len's such a character.
Yes.
I had to tell Melinda. It was like a plethora of people.
Like, it wasn't just you.
No.
You weren't on pause. Everything else was on pause.
When that happened, I can't tell you how many people were like, we're going to miss Len so much. I'm like, Len? What about me?
Well, that's a given.
I'm like, yeah. Okay.
It doesn't feel right not being in the Berkshires. Like, I feel like that's just, there's have been these iconic trips every season. And, you know,
iconic, right?
Literally, like, I'm like, that fish room, I actually found it really interesting to find out that the fish room was your stepson's room because I don't think that we ever heard that on the show. So, yeah, right.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, when they were all making fun of it, I was like, I decorated this for my family.
This is for children. A 12-year-old boy.
Not for about the housewives. Like, this is my home.
Also, okay? I would stay in the fish room in a heartbeat. I was like, I cannot even believe this is an argument. Like, at least she's not being put on the lower level.
And by
like,
the way, not entirely by Scully and Scully. So it's not like it was some shit room, okay? Right.
No, it looked like, I was like, I'm not sure what the problem is here.
I mean, the famous boat people, what are they called? There's a famous boat yard. They did our bathroom because he loved this yacht, this boat. I got the yacht. Because he loved this boat that we used to take throughout the Exumuses. And we copied the inside of the bathroom in his bathroom. So it's literally done like a beautiful, you know, beautiful yacht inside of it. So I never understood that. So
there was complaints about a room with an attached only that person's bathroom. And that was the complaint about it. That this upsets me greatly. Very upset by this. What is your favorite room in Bluestone Manor? Because
and I'm going to show you the light. This room has the most beautiful light in the afternoon.
Oh, stunning.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it just is my favorite room.
So and this is the room with the light fireplace. Just changed
for you.
Yes, so it's gorgeous. Just,
I sit in this room a lot and I do my work and I read and I sit in the morning and have my coffee. It's just, you know what's beautiful about Bluestone Manor? It's a real home, even though it's sort of got many spaces and places and it's on 18 acres. It's a real home. Like it's kind of to me a very living and breathing. And then there's also this guy, which you guys know very well.
Oh God. Love it. I want to be in that room.
Who's been staying up there with you like in COVID and stuff?
See, the light just changed again. You could see it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See how the colors change.
It's great lighting on you too, you know?
My parents lived down the road and then of course Hannah has stayed with me. And then my very good dear friend, Greg Callejo became my COVID buddy. And then my friends, you know, we kind of had a COVID pod of people.
Yeah.
I think we all had to do that at some point. We had to just, you know, it was sort of me, Hannah and Greg. And of course my parents down the road. And then my brothers and sisters would come and visit. But for a while there, we all were just so petrified, right?
Yeah, hunkered down.
Seriously. And then I think around June, we sort of got our COVID pod. And then you would have people that you really felt comfortable with. And it was so funny because there was definitely a period, I don't know if it happened to you, but like, you would be like, that person's a COVID liar. I saw them out the other night.
Literally all the time. We'd have side conversations, you know, there'd be a group text and then you're on the side, like, no way.
I don't want to say anything, but I think so-and-so's a COVID liar.
Yeah, totally. There was a lot of lying going on.
And it was so easy to just say like, oh, I don't feel comfortable. I'm just going to stay at my house.
Yeah.
Now that things begin to open up again.
That were not being isolated, but we're still getting laid. I'm like, we can't get COVID through the vagina? I mean, when did that happen?
Yeah, that's definitely why I didn't.
Isn't that the easiest receptacle? I mean, if there's a mask here, but if we're not putting a mask on there.
Well, right. We should. We should put masks down there.
It's a condom.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting you say that too with like COVID, because something that you mentioned and that's something that your mom did too, was like, no matter what's happening in our lives, we always come back to the dinner table, right? So were you still with your pod doing these dinner parties with each other? What was like the last big event that you did that?
So much that, you know, it was funny about 4 months into COVID. I mean, we were like Jesus Christ in the last dinner. I was cooking up a storm. We were drinking. We were the New York Times recipe, every recipe I was making. You know, it was like the last days of the great earth, right?
Right, right. Enjoying it.
Yeah. And then one day I got this call, seriously. Hi, this is Stacey Mullen from Nutrisystem. And we just would really love to offer you we've been watching your TikToks and things and we enjoy your Instagram so much. And we would love to partner with you for Nutrisystem and have you be an ambassador. And I'm thinking, So I said,
the New York Times dinners were out the table.
I am both honored and horrified.
It's a complicit, right? It's like that compliment insult of like, you want to pay me. That's great. But also why?
I lost 16 pounds on it.
Awesome.
I was fat during COVID.
I mean, I disagree because I'm look like when I look at your book cover, I'm like, okay, I was literally thinking like, okay, none of us had a great COVID, but you like, are you serious? Like you look stunning on your cover.
This I think was done in like November. So I'd already been on the system for a while. Because what happened was we didn't have any. The great thing about New York, I mean, I dress in New York neat, tight, and like to the point. So if something doesn't fit, I do not eat. I'm like, we're done.
Right.
But in Great Barrington, I had on sweats. I was dressing very hippie, bohemian chic, you know, right. Flip flops.
Right.
You know, that I had no idea what my waistline was doing. The thought of putting on a pair of jeans was horrifying. Do you remember the first time you put on a pair of jeans since the whole COVID things?
They still don't fit the same way.
I threw them away.
Yeah. Wait a second. Why is it restricted in this triangular area so much?
I'm thinking, wait, these are high waisted. It's supposed to help hide things. And yet here we are with a muffin top. So,
but you also talked about in the book, like you had some, struggles with 100%. An eating disorder and kind of, I feel like that stuff always kind of comes back in waves a little bit too.
Well, you know what? I think that a lot of young girls suffer from it. I think probably more than we think. Hannah and I were talking about it the other day. She goes, do you think a lot of people suffer from body dysmorphia? I guess that's the new word.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at some level, a lot of us women are constantly checking ourselves visually, our weight, our look, and even more so than ever with this Instagram and Facetune. And
yep.
So I think, you know, I think if you, and I was very competitive growing up, and, you know, part of being striving for whatever I thought was perfection was being thin to win. You know what I associated being thin, and you got to remember too, back then it was a very different visual for me. We had people like Cheryl Teagues who, you know, that wore the triangle bikini with her hip bones out. I mean, that was the look. We had Bande du Soleil for the Saint-Tropez woman. I was like, oh my God, I want to look like the Bande du Soleil woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So our visuals were different. It was a completely flat ass. God forbid you had anything on your ass. Right, that was the look.
Right.
Oh yeah. Like stick thin. Like I can think of like with a Gidget and
very
like,
fair
I think,
small boobs, you know, triangle. I used to love to wear a crochet triangle top and my wide leg jeans with a high top and pockets. I thought I was so it.
Literally the outfit I pictured when you were talking about your college days and you were saying like, oh, I went a little bit more eclectic and I started like, you know, dressing like different with different scarves. And I thought, I bet she's like in a crochet top with high jeans. Like I just pictured that completely.
And clogs, lots of clogs.
Yes.
And Dr. Scholl's. I was a big Dr. Scholl's collector.
I mean, I can literally picture it. And it's like very interesting what you were saying too about like growing up and, you know, kind of having to keep up. And so something that you said, your mom had actually said too, was like, hey, if you want to swim with the sharks, you have to be a shark, you know, something along those lines, which is like very much, I feel like today.
If you want to swim with the sharks, you have to go to the ocean. I mean, my mother was very much, you know, I remember my mother, I used to waitress my whole life away. I mean, I was like, you know, the head person at Friendly's Ice Cream. And I just was a great waitress. And I swear to God, if I would say anything to a young person, waitress or waiter, because it teaches you such great social skills that by the time I did my first interview, I was interviewing them because I was so used to, where are you from? So I say, oh my God, what are you doing here in the Berkshires? Well, tonight, I remember one person, and I would always memorize the whole menu and never, my claim to fame in waitressing is I never carried a pad. So I memorized. I remember one day this guy said to me, are you going to remember this order? I was like, honey.
I'll show you. Yeah.
Everything you have said, sir, I have remembered. What I, you know, that was my.
I wrote down detail after detail when I was waitressing. I was like, no cheese. Okay, hold on 1 second. No, like every detail. Cause I was like, I'm so scared I'll forget.
I always, when I saw those waitresses writing down too much, I'm like, they just don't have it.
I would love to see you in your heyday at the Red Lion Inn. Like, I feel like if you came up to my table, I'd be like,
I was a very good waitress. And my, you know, I really was the type of person that wanted to always be the best. So I used to, it's so terrible.
You have a competitive spirit. You have a competitive spirit.
I used to figure out who all the single mothers were at the beginning of the shift at about 10:30 at night, 10 o'clock when I knew their babysitters were going home at 11. I'd think, you know, you can go home and I'll take over your table and you just need to split the tip. How terrible is that?
Now, would you really split the tip?
Probably.
75-25.
Wait, and then this was like one of the most interesting things in the book, how you were, you know, living in New York, working, you get this bonus, and then you spend all your money in one night at a bar, providing for others, being generous. I need to know more about that. Yes. What was this bar called?
Being a big shot, because you know what? New York was so fun back then, and it was really all stockbrokers. And, you know, you got to remember too, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any form of communication other than your tape recorder, your memory tape recorder, and making and basically happy hours. I mean, your life was one big, where's the happy hours? Who's going to be at what happy hour? So, you know, you would, you know, there was no recording of anything. So you could do whatever you want. And on Monday morning, you were just back to being that person. No one knew anything about your life. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no stories that somebody else took. And you're like, when did that happen?
When you were out at work, you could just, you know, and we used to all make plans. What happy hours, Coconut Grill, you know, Trader Vic's. There was always sort of certain, there was even a hierarchy in the sort of happy hours that if you were the
VIP, you weren't going to the Regency hours, Hotel yet.
No, a big one for me was Trader Vic's, which I loved. Uh-huh. You don't even know about it, right? And
I would love
Dorian's, believe it or not. And then a great place to go to at night was the Surf Club. It was so much fun. It was up in the 90s, and it was just this incredible place filled with poorly behaved stockbrokers.
I can imagine.
They just put their card down.
And people that just lived, I just thought it was great. It just felt very glamorous. They'd be at the Racquet Club for a cocktail party and late night at the Surf Club. So you would go there. And I somehow became friends with Tiger, who was the doorman to the VIP, and I got myself into VIP.
Okay.
All right. So that was step one. So I'm like, okay, I got into Surf Club, so I'm in. Now I got into the inner circle. Now I got to become a big shot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I got this bonus for $2,500. And I was like, Tiger, guess what? I had a bonus. And I was like, guess what I'm going to do? And it just came out. I'm going to buy drinks for everyone. And I kind of said it, but all I know is I was like the most popular person. I became like iconic. But literally I woke up the next morning. I'm like,
what have I done?
I can't pay my Mellon bank card. Like I can't fucking pay my rent.
Right.
Oh my
it was really one of those learned, and it was so funny because my parents did not skip a beat. There was no yelling. There was no nothing. My father sent me a bus ticket.
I would have died. I just would have died.
He's like, no problem.
Yeah.
So we'll send you a bus ticket. See, okay, we'll see you next week. Click.
You went from iconic and then you went out on top, right? You disappeared and people were just like, who was that? Amazing. And then you're like, I'll come back in 1 year.
We had one great night.
But boy, oh boy, I saved every penny. But it was such a great thing because during that year, I really thought a lot about, you know, what I
did. It was your COVID year.
And I actually went back richer than I did after college because all I did, and you know, when I went back home to live, my mother didn't even let me go out. Like I waitressed a game home and went to bed.
Right.
There was no going out.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, there was the haze of being a fuck up. So I was like, you know, no problem.
You're going to listen to the rules. Totally.
You're giving me a roof over my head and I know we don't have to talk about it. I already know.
Every penny. I think I went back to, you know, New York with something like $15,000, which at that time was a lot of money.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
I would take that now too. You could put that in my bank account. Take 15K.
Let's take a quick break.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I started using Dime Beauty at the end of last year. It is a simple skincare routine. I mean, who has time for that 10-step stuff? Dime is a clean, high-end skincare that is very affordable, and it really works. Dime did not sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I mean clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. So I start with their gentle cleanser. It's kind of like a jelly form and smells like coconuts. Obsessed with it. Then after I wash my face, I use the TBT serum. Soaks right into your skin. And then during the day, I use their Dewy Day Cream. Obsessed.
obsessed with it. Melts into your skin. I finished mine in St. Lucia and was like so pissed off about it. And then at night, I have their restorative night cream and their TBT cream. This TB cream has been sold out. It's Dime's sold out retinol alternative, the TBT cream, and it's finally back in stock, so you can check that out. They have over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com, and love the skin you're in. Courtney and I both have Pelotons. It is always there for me. You know what I mean? Like after a long day of work, that's the last thing I want to do, jump on the bike. But I muster up the energy and I literally will be like, okay, I'm just going to do a 10-minute class. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm here. I feel good. This is making me feel better. Then I'll do an additional 10-minute class. Then I'll throw on another like weights one. And all of a sudden I've done 30 minutes of workouts. I also fall in love with my instructors. I'm obsessed with Cody Rigsby. He makes me laugh. He like talks about ranch dressing, all his TV shows. He's a housewife person. Obsessed with Tunde. I want her arm. She's super inspiring. But I also love that I can be like, all right, you know what? I feel like listen to Mamma Mia. So I can do a Mamma Mia ride or a Taylor Swift ride or a Beyonce. Also, you don't have to just do rides. They have meditations. They have a walking people. And honestly, it gets your heart rate up. I know Courtney has done the marathon stuff. She's a big runner. You know, they have so many classes, 5 minutes up to an hour. I mean, so many genres, hits. I can't talk enough about the Peloton. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus. You can do a rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms do apply. Join the Peloton journey with us. I've been using Way products for years. It's OUAI, and they just launched something new. It's the anti-frizz cream. I have very thick, curly, unruly hair, so this is a perfect product for me. But I got to thinking about it, and it's like, if you have thin hair, thick hair, everybody has frizz. This is immediate frizz control and it lasts up to 72 hours. And plus it's a heat protector because I blow dry my hair. I also, you know, I'll put the curling iron on it. I'll use the straightener, but it has heat protection up to 450 degrees. Also helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching dry hair with intense hydration. And according to Consumer Perception Study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. I know I am feeling that. So I will put in this with wet or dry hair. Then I love to apply my leave-in conditioner, you know. It detangles, hydrates, helps me brush out my hair. And I can't tell you about the smells of Way. Honestly, all their products smell delicious. I'm obsessed with this scent. It's the North Bondi scent. It has like lemon and violet. It's just delicious. And then I usually will finish off after my blow dry with the hair gloss. Immediate shine helps treat damage and enhances color vibrancy. I just love all the Way products. I'm a Way girly, but be fizz free. With Way, you can go to theouai.com, use promo code TJG for 15% off any of their products. That's theouai.com, promo code TJG. You know, I can't recommend it enough.
I want to talk a little bit more about your London life because this sounds just so glamorous. You had like these amazing apartments. You had these like people reaching out to you for tea. I want to know more about the cashmere business. Would you ever start it again?
Hold on. I'm going to open the store because I'm dying of heat. I don't know why it's so hot in here. Hold on.
It's all that good lighting.
It's the afternoon sun.
Yeah. It really is. I'm sweating here. And Hannah was in the other room, so I shut the door. I'm not going to lie to you. London was very glamorous back then. I can't, there's
absolutely,
there was nothing like it and there will never be anything like it. Cause you got to remember unless you did it, these investment banks, we need these men to go up families. And
Ooh, Dorinda, you just London, cut out a little
and
bit.
And they would just pay for everything.
Wait,
let me get in the hard wire.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just cut out a little bit. So if you don't mind starting over with how amazing London was, because
I mean, that's not exaggerated. London, my chapter about London is not exaggerated. Anybody of my girlfriends that were there with me, and I have a lot of them that I became close to, it just was a time, it was when investment banking was everything. They were courting Americans to come over and open up these offices, and they literally just had huge expense accounts, and they just wanted you to stay there. And they brought you over as a unit. So basically most of the people that moved to London, and that was another reason why Ralph and I had to get married, is they wanted the husband-wife team. Mm-hmm. So they knew the husbands would be working 18 hours a day, so they had to make sure the wives had this happy investment banker life. So, you know, I went over there as a girl that really, I mean, my best dress in my car. I mean, I think I had one Taylor dress, and I was like, barely wore it because it was like the,
yeah, that was your going out, your nice dress.
And it was like instant growing up. You know, they paid for everything. They paid for your, and it was just interesting.
Well, that's why I think it was interesting that you even, like, what did you want to have the cashmere business as just like your own thing to have your own money, or was it like a creative outlet? Like, because it seems like you had it all and you didn't need this money. You know what I mean?
Well, it wasn't about the money. I just always have been a creative, and I don't do well idle. Like I'm best when I'm busy. I'm not good when I am.
I'm the same way.
You love a routine.
Yeah.
I love a routine. I love a project. And you know, my husband was working 14, 15 hours a day, and I was living in London, and there were no cell phones to call your mom. There was no nothing. And I didn't ever really travel growing up. So I really knew no one.
Right.
So I had to figure out a way to sort of keep myself occupied. And I love the fashion in London, but I saw this niche because on the weekends we'd go to Scotland and we'd spend the weekends. And I started, you know, I was one of these kids that loved going to factories. I remember once my parents brought me to the Crayola Crayon factory, and I was just I'm very fascinated by the back kitchen.
Like how does it all work?
Yeah. How does it all work? And I started touring the beautiful mills of, back then when you would go buy cashmere in Scotland, you'd actually go to the mill and then they'd have a shop. Mm-hmm. And you could go and look at the mill where the stuff was being made. And I just started to think, God, there's just such dull cashmere. It's either the crew neck or the V-neck or the twin set. Like, how can we sexy this up?
Right, right.
And that's where it came. I'm not going to lie to you. I was the first one to do the extended sleeve with the armhole through it. And I showed the Ralph Lauren guy that.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
And then I loved how you talked about how you were selling, like you were almost doing like the original like Tupperware party, but it was like with expensive cashmere, you know?
I was doing the original Tupperware party, and it became a really great way to meet people because back then they would, you know, they would have in these beautiful homes, all these wealthy women would have little hobbies, and one would be selling jewelry and another would be selling back then, which was cutting as pashminas. Like these pashminas from Nepal, you know, if you had a pashmina, you were everything. You were really grown up, especially if you had a white one. You know what I mean? Yeah. I could never get the pashmina right in London. First, I got the typical navy one. And this woman said to me, oh, God.
Navy's out.
They completely dyed if you're going to get a pashmina, you have to get a light one. So then, of course, the next time I went to the pashmina thing, it was twice a year at, it was so bizarre. It would be twice a year at Cadogan Hotel, and you had to get an invite from Luigi,
who came from
you know, the coast of Italy, or you could go and fly to the coast of Italy to see him to get one. So you would get this vetted invitation to go spend back then £1,000 on a scarf. You got to remember that's
insane.
5-7 years ago.
Yeah.
So then I got the pale pink one, and I thought, and the girl, yeah, these were like, and then of course Lady McTaggart shows up with a white one. I'm like, what the fuck? There's a white one?
Can you tell me what color we're buying before we go to these things? I don't want to wait another season.
Oh my gosh, we did have this. I'm like, there's a white one.
Oh man.
Well, can we talk about your biggest cashmere client? Because I feel like you're so like humble in a sense where you just like casually drop these names where you're like, yeah, so my biggest client was like Princess Diana, like no big deal. She started buying cashmere. I'm like, excuse me, what?
Yeah, that was true.
How did that come about?
I had some good clients. I had her. And you know how I got her is because Sophie, who's now married to Prince Edward, used to live in my neighborhood. So
in the Boltons? Was this when you were in the
Boltons? Yeah, it was actually Colhern Court at the time. And there was a woman there called Princess Demetra Lalunas who wrote, her family owned a jewelry thing. We would all sit in the square because, you know, London's very big on squares. Do you have a key to the square? So I just met all these people, and I really was always, even back then, working it. And I just slowly developed this very inner circle of women. It was like the Harry's Bar or the sort of, you know, the Annabelle's of cashmere. So I would literally be what I was. I'll tell you a weird thing. I was watching. Do you ever watch British TV? You ever watch BritBox?
Like horrible trash television from.
Well, there's a famous woman on it that goes and tours estates of London, the famous country houses of London. Okay. So I'm watching it one afternoon because I love the way they run their homes in Britain. It's so different than they do. And I kind of liken Bluestone Manor to trying to run it like that. Like you could be at a dinner party by night, but in the morning you're going to the chicken coop to get out your chickens.
That's very Harry and Meghan in Montecito, I feel, right now. They took Oprah to the chicken
Renaissance.
Coop.
Renaissance.
So this woman, Lady So-and-so, is at some court in upstate, outside of England and in the countryside. And she walks out, Lady Kitty or something. And she's got my cardigan on.
Oh, from like literally 20 years ago.
Thinking, is that my, okay, because I had a cardigan that I loved. I would have, it was one color base, but you could choose all the different color buttons. So it became yours.
Yeah. What are the odds?
And that was like, but that was like, that cardigan's like 20 years old, right? 25.
But it was cashmere. It was Scottish cashmere. Scottish cashmere never ages.
Right.
But that's just so crazy because you're like, I've been out of the business for so long. And just to see it pop up like on a random episode
and,
you're
you
watching.
You know, I was lucky that I had, you know, I hate to talk about because she's dead and it just sounds so tacky and stuff. But I, you know, it was a funny thing because people always thought I looked like her.
Would they get you confused?
We've done that comparison before.
And I had a famous lunch. It was a Louis Vuitton lunch in Hyde Park. I'll never forget it. And I was wearing a melon jacket. And she walked in and had a melon Louis Vuitton jacket on. and she leaned over to me. She said, finally, I meet my doppelganger.
Okay, my life ends at that point. I'm like, okay, I can die happy now. Then you're like, I'm still going to go live three other lives
here. You know what's so funny? Because there wasn't so much social media, she was around. I mean, she was always at the Harbor Club working out. She walked her kids a lot of places. I mean, listen, she was iconic and you knew it at the time, but you would see her. She was very pedestrian that way.
Right.
I love that. I mean, then on the opposite side too of your life in London is like when you're talking about your Durobics and you're like, and this guy was just so nice to me. And then it turned out to be
that's when Ralph was like, enough. I mean, Ralph thought I was crazy anyway, you know, doing this thing. He's like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? But I found such joy in the fact that I, again, figured out a niche that no one, you know, in England, for all these people that didn't have the opportunity, and they would literally like do the aerobics and I'd take a 10-minute break and they'd smoke cigarettes.
Amazing.
That to me is like very British. Like, yes. I feel like that is just so much. I mean, it's just so crazy to me that it was like, you know, I love how much of a go-getter you are. And I think, honestly, I feel like this is very much of a housewife's trait, is these independent women who have these lives. They can be married, whatever, but they're like, no, I'm making a life for myself. You know, something you said too, is like, you always should know where the money comes from, where the money's going. Like you were very involved, which.
Oh, mother said you follow. When I got married, my mother said, you always write the checks in the house, because if you follow the money, you follow the man.
Ooh. Love that. Well, and this season of Beverly Hills is very much struggling with this like power dynamic of knowing where the money's coming from and all this. And I just, when I was reading your book, I was like, Dorinda would never. She would never.
Well, you know what's so funny is after Richard passed, my lawyers were prosecutor because they do all the estates and stuff. And I was sitting with one of my lawyers, Henry, and he said, and I come in with 6 shoe boxes of checks.
Right. You knew it all. You had it all.
He said, you know, and I had the file because I love a good filing cabinet to this day. I know people put everything on their computers, but I love a filing.
Yeah,
cabinet.
A physical.
Get off on a filing cabinet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, my God, that's good looking, their filing cabinet, because you never get, it never gets lost. It never gets misplaced. You don't have that moment of what file's it in?
Right. And what's the password to this?
Files, they always let me down, the ones you put on your computer.
Yeah. So I'm not a techie.
Well, so Herr Henry said to me, do you know how many women, wealthy women, educated women, sit in front of me after their husbands die they don't even know where the will is or if they have a will.
Right.
Crazy. You know, another thing I did with Richard, we got married. I was like, okay, let's start a life now. Let's see your will. We need to change your will. And I remember Richard said, well, that's, I said, well, and thank God, do you know how many women, how many husbands or wives die? First of all, very few white women have wills, which I find astounding. Like men have wills, but a lot of times women don't, or they'll get a will because of their husband. A lot of independent women die without wills. Very famous people. But I think that what is amazing is that she said, I cannot tell you how many women sit here, probably 75%, and they have no idea about their finances. They don't even know where the checkbook is.
Yeah.
How can that be?
No, that's scary. I don't have any money, so I'm fine.
But when it comes to the story now, Beverly Hills, I think you don't know, because a lot of women just don't know. And that's why a lot of times they don't do well in divorces. They don't do well in things, because knowledge for a woman is power.
Completely. You were mentioning Richard. So something that I've noticed too, that's like, I think it's really great, is I hear through the grapevine, or we get DMs about people who've reached out to you and just been like, you're in this similar situation. You mentioned in the book that you like, you will return every person's message, every person's email. It talks about this. And I thought one of my favorite things, I mean, obviously you're iconic on Housewives, but one of my favorite storylines was you and Carol talking about being widows and, you know, having
going on the trip.
Yeah, going on that trip and everything. And so many people can relate to that. I think it's a really relatable story.
Well,
for you,
I think it's, yeah, go I ahead. Think it's no, different too, because we were young widows.
Yeah.
46.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a bad word. There should be a new word, because widow doesn't fit someone that's in their 40s, 50s. I just think it's an old person's word.
Do you find it difficult kind of to be this spokesperson for widows? Or is it something that you find solace in with like being able to have a community around you? Or is it not even something that you really think about?
I would like to, can I tell you something? I would love to do something where I just talk. There's a woman that I'm actually was just talking to the other day. She actually was, someone sent me something from Reddit. It was so nice. I'm going to read it to you. It was the nicest thing that it made me cry.
Because, oh, I love that. I mean, I think you could do your own, as Carol had her What Remains book. Like, I think you could write an entire book about that, because well,
and you know, even what, if I were to write a book about it, you know what I would do? I would do like Death for Dummies. I know that sounds like a terrible time.
It's not. No, but it's needed.
Because I don't think people realize, like, you.
And he didn't want to share. He didn't want to share that he was sick. So that's like an extra layer.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, too, I think that people don't know. People, like, I had no idea. Like, you think it's like the movies where people die, you're allowed to go and lay in bed, and you know, people are all around you and going to take, and there's no bills to pay. Literally, someone dies on a Tuesday, Wednesday morning, life goes on. People are like, you know, your gas bills due, your American Express is due. What do you want him to wear? You're not allowed to use his checking account anymore. You've got to submit your stuff. You've got to put every, you know, it's, and no one tells you this.
Right.
I think that'd be great.
IRS immediately. You have to inform every bank. You're not allowed. You just got to turn off their phone number. I mean, it's like, there should
please
be
please write this. There really should, because I always think too, like, I've been lucky that, you know, it's only been grandparents so far and like maybe like a dog, but I'm like, I think like anybody in my immediate, I'm like, I literally don't know what I would do. I don't know what I'd
you
do.
Don't.
I don't know what I would, like where my first step would be, but would love to
and
hear.
And everybody
what,
wants to says they want to help you, but the truth is, they can't, you really need advisors. And I would say to everyone, like, have your estate set up, talk about it to your children, let them know where all your stuff is. I mean, I didn't even know Richard had a storage area up in Connecticut.
Oh my. And you found out when you went to the lawyers and everything? That's
well, I found out when I went to the, would I just somehow just got pages. Like, I think he has something. I'm like, oh my God. You know, it did end up being big stuff, but like, know where everything is.
Yeah.
And I'm always saying to Hannah, this is where this is. This is where that is. You know, and I have an envelope for her that my brother is the executor, that if I pass, it gets handed to her and all the people do all the work. You know what I'm saying? And they can let her know. But look at what someone wrote me the other day. This is when you know it's worth it. I'm going to show you. You mind if I read it to you?
Yeah, no, we please.
Love it. Okay. If I can find it. Here we go. It was, I guess someone sent me this from, that's my one. It says, I guess it was in Reddit. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Reddit. Yep.
Is it, this is a standard Dorinda appreciation post, but nonetheless, I felt the need to post it. I lost my father to cancer on 9/11/19, my best friend, my safety, my everything. I related a lot to Dorinda over grief and loss and how it make you behave in ways you never thought possible. I paid for a Zoom call with Dorinda. I know this girl. Crazy, I know, but it was worth it. She talked to me way past my allotted time and gave me some encouragement that I needed. I then, moving from Virginia to Austin, Texas, someone I'm scared to uproot my life, Dorinda told me I'm brave. Yes, she said bad things, but by God, the woman is human like all of us. I miss her in real hospital, so I think it's time for blah, blah, blah. But that made me so happy.
Yeah. I mean, like, you really help somebody by giving, 20 minutes of your day, right? And it's, they needed it.
So yes, I don't mind talking about it all. In fact, I love when people talk about it because death is a dirty word. Mm-hmm. I remember when someone asked me one day, I was walking down Park Avenue, I just was so sick of it because Richard was so sort of infamous in his own way and very popular. How are you doing? And I remember saying to the woman, do you really want to know?
Yeah.
You're like, not well, bitch.
Or are you doing platitudes? Because I'm tired of that. Like, if you really want to know, we're going to have to go sit somewhere. Yeah. Because it ain't pretty.
Right. Yeah. If you say like horrible, she's like, okay, we'll have a great rest of your day. Yeah. You're like, okay.
People don't really want to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, that's great.
You kind of met John pretty quickly after.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe that was like, kind of escape, have fun, enjoy, do some different things.
And I knew John beforehand. So it wasn't and I just saw John the other night for dinner for his birthday. So I don't get rid of people in my life.
I was going to ask, when's the last time he sat at your table? Because you always have a place at my table.
It was his birthday and we went and had dinner with his parents, strangely. And I just don't get rid of, if you knew my life, I still have friends from 20, 30 years ago. I don't have a lot of friends.
Like, where's that guy? What was his name? Billy?
Yes, Billy from college.
Yeah, Billy?
Your first guy.
I reached out to him. That's actually not his real name. I disguised it for safety purposes.
Right.
For the best.
it's so funny because I reached out to him and said, listen, I just want to give you the head. It was really a funny story. I said, listen, I want to reach out to you and let you know I'm writing about you. And just to give you a heads up that, so your wife knows. He goes, oh, believe me, my wife knows.
Let's take a quick break.
Did you know most traditional creams or serums are made up of about 70% water, 15% going into emulsifiers and preservative, and that makes up the goo of the cream. And that leaves only 15% for active ingredients that truly benefit your skin. But there is a better way. Enter Fiber Skincare, a groundbreaking technology set to redefine skincare. Fiber Skincare harnesses nanofibers. They're tiny natural fibers, 500 times smaller than a human hair. And their scientists have been working on this technology for the past 15 years and just a year ago achieved a remarkable breakthrough encapsulating active ingredients directly into these natural nanofibers. So the result is a formulation free from water, emulsifiers, and preservatives, meaning the active ingredients are not just pure, but five times the concentration of most creams or serums. Their first formulation is an anti-wrinkle, and it's not just effective, it is fast. Upon the application, your skin feels tighter in a mere 10 seconds. That's right, you can feel the difference almost instantly. But that's just the start. Over the next 7 days, these concentrated actives unfold their full potential, clinically proven to improve wrinkles by 19.4%. It's worth checking out their Instagram, Fiber Skincare, F-I-B-E-R Skincare, to learn more about the technology and how it works. You might have seen some viral videos of the mask's disappearing effect, and it's easier to apply this by wetting your face, applying the patch, and removing it. The nanofiber, which contains the active ingredients, disappears into the skin super quickly. Experience the transformation for yourself with their 2-day trial pack. It's a precursor for the 7-day program that promises not just results, but a revolution in your skincare routine. With their tighter skin guarantee, your satisfaction is not just expected, it's assured. And if you try the 7-day program and your skin doesn't feel tighter, you'll receive a full refund, no questions asked. They have clinically tested the program to be the most effective if you use the 1 week on, 3 weeks off. But we understand that everyone's skincare routine is different. That's why if you sign up for their monthly program, they will send you their monthly pack to remind you to do it.
and you can pause or cancel it at any time. And it gives you the control of your skincare journey. If you want to try this revolution in skincare, go to fiberskincare.com and use code 2, T-W-O, for 15% off. That's fiberskincare.com and use code 2, T-W-O, for 15% off.
You know, Courtney and I are always on a health journey. We're always trying to lose weight. And we recently started Noom, and it is a personalized plan that meets individual needs. They take into account medical issues. They take into account dietary restrictions. They take into account the psychology behind losing weight and the biology, meeting you where you're at. So they have an app, and you can go onto the Noom app and you can share, like, they have coaching, they have recipe ideas, you input your food, but it really helps me stop mindlessly eating. So it is very sustainable, and it is not a restrictive weight loss program. Because, you know, I like my chocolate. I love my popcorn. I like my wine. And guess what? With Noom, they take that into account. We're not going to be like never having to treat again, right? I love that it is psychology and biology based. So Noom uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain. But it also takes into account, you know, the biological factors, which also affect weight loss. And the program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. I am such a craving girl. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. And the program's totally flexible. Noom's flexible program is focused on progress instead of perfection, which is that's what I need, because sometimes you have a couple setbacks and that's okay. It's not about perfection. It's about creating healthy habits. And Noom's approach is grounded in science. They've published more than 30 peer-reviewed scientific articles describing their methods and effectiveness. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. You can sign up for a trial today at Noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living, available to buy now wherever books are sold. So guys, check out Noom.com today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Who are you dating? Are you dating anyone right now?
I'm trying. It's so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so busy. You know, I'm doing the book. I'm launching a bourbon, Bluestone Manor bourbon, like a speaker. I'm doing a candle. I'm doing this thing with Airbnb. There's like a couple huge things I'm doing. I'm doing the Nutrisystem and I'm trying to just get my apartment done in New York, and I'm doing a big project, you know, coming up sort of in the fall. And there's just so many things. I feel like it's the moment after COVID, we're all sort of like socially trying to get back into the rhythm.
Totally. Yes. You know, it's I always hard. Tell people I have 30 minutes from you because that's what I'm used to at work, right? Like I have a 30-minute meeting and then like, what do I do after 30 minutes? Like, what?
Well, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I was in New York and I went out three nights in a row. And by the third day, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that interesting anymore. Like, I don't have anything to say to anybody. My life is, you know, because I've
lost. You just told us about 12 products that you're like, things that, like, projects that you're doing. No, what do you mean you have nothing to talk about?
Like, I said to my friend, Greg, I'm like, I think I'm a bore. Like, I sat there and I'm not interesting. I'm certainly not funny anymore. I just want to go to bed. I've been eating at 6 o'clock every night and now it's nine. I mean, one night I was at 9:30. I'm like, I got to get home. It's getting late. Like, the clock is ticking here.
It's like, you're like, before COVID, you're like, I wouldn't go home before, like, it was double digit, you know, before midnight. Like, that's crazy.
Imagine some asshole wrote to me and said, I booked Indochine at 9. What's wrong with these people?
Nobody eats dinner at 9 anymore. It's 6 p.m. or bus. Like, that's
it. Get me for drinks at 8:30. Then we'll go to, I mean, what
you're like,
we
that's, that was, no, that wasn't smart.
That's ancient history. That's like what you would read about that Neanderthals do.
And no, it just leads to trouble. That's what it leads to.
The person, and I'm thinking 9 o'clock at Indochine. So not only am I going to eat late, but I've got to start the journey late. Like, no, we're eating at 6:30. I need time to digest.
Yes.
Totally.
And then, I mean, I was going to ask too, like, what, if you're going to Indochine at like 9, like, what time are you taking your nap that day?
Well, I take my nap every single day at the same time. Like, at you're the in the middle time. Of my, you're in the middle of my nap.
I was like, going to ask if you'd taken it today. Oh my gosh. I feel no, we're going to throw off your whole day.
It right after this.
Okay, great. Okay.
Or if I don't, you can ask Hannah. Poor Hannah's like, if she doesn't take a nap, I'm just a bitch. I just need to go to sleep at like 8.
I feel very similar at the end of the day. I'm like, I need 20 minutes.
Nap. How long is the nap?
45 minutes. It's okay. Basic.
Yeah. And do you wake up from an alarm?
At 4 o'clock, Hannah's like, it's almost like the call to like would answer something. She's wherever my mother is at 4 o'clock, she's going home. She's like, we're done now. We can be in the middle of a purchase. We can be in the middle of a lunch, a middle of a project. She just, that's it. She's in an Uber. I get home. I take my clothes off. I put on my, because I never wear city clothes in my house.
Yeah, that's okay. I understand that. Yeah.
I put on my cozy clothes. I get in bed and I sleep till 5. I turn on Dr. Phil, who I'm madly in love with. And
oh gosh, he's married.
I don't care.
No, I was trying to think of like, I'm like,
two
maybe
people
that.
I love Dr. Phil and Sir David Attenborough. Love them both. Okay. And I sleep and then I don't even put an alarm. And about 5 to 5, I start waking up and I give my face a good splash and I start the day again.
That sounds lovely.
Do a little literally wash under the arms, under the arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
And then I'm good to go again.
I love that.
So I know we have like limited time. I'm sure this is like crazy book tour of everything, but we had some fast questions we wanted to ask.
So
just kind of like the first thing that comes up is like, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Bluestone Manor.
Okay. Take us with you.
Do you see yourself married?
I see myself partnered.
Love that. What's a typical day in the Berkshires for you?
Typical day in the Berkshires is I wake up very early. I walk my property every morning and think. I then have my coffee and I usually, I always try to say my prayers to start my day. And I don't mean prayers by like some holy religious, just sort of like
gratitude.
And I really do. Some people meditate, some people this. And then I stretch for about 25 minutes and then I start my day. I really don't start like the aggressive part of my day till about 8 o'clock. I just give myself
eight,
that 2 hours.
That. I wake up at 8.
But I really try to like, you know, like Parsley's here, my Hannah's dog. I play with the dog. I'm so aware of this house and this property. And I know one day either I'll not be here or I'll not own it, that I want to really look back and say, I enjoyed every minute. I mean, I hope I own it forever, but you never know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and it's a big house. It's a lot of house.
Yeah, it's a lot of house and I love it. And I don't know if Hannah's going to want to keep it. I hope she does. But, you know, like it's a lot for a person.
She could turn it into a museum. If not, I feel like I would pay admission often.
Is Hannah dating anyone?
I can't talk about Hannah.
Okay.
Well, what's the last thing you and Hannah did together?
The last thing that Hannah and I did together was last night fall asleep together.
Oh, that's so cute. What are you currently watching on TV?
I'm telling you, I'm watching The White Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch last night's already?
It's incredible.
That last scene really got me. I was laughing so hard.
I need to catch up.
It's so good.
Okay. It's so good.
And the best movie that I've watched that everybody should watch that I've now watched three times. Oh. And I just watch and see something new and just is the A Little Chaos.
Oh.
With Kate Winslet.
Yes, it's on it just came out on Netflix. My mom was watching it yesterday.
It's so beautiful and it's such a tribute to women and it's such a thing that I always say about women, we are our own worst enemies when we come to each other. We all are high, low, black, white, yellow, green, rich, poor. We're all going through it. And if we just stopped and acknowledged that before we were fearful of each other. And there's this beautiful moment in the movie where she thinks she's not part of court and she meets the women. And then the women go in a private room and she realizes they're all just women. One woman says to me, I lost my son and my husband. I'm barely here. And it's like, you'll cry. It's Kate Winslet is.
I love her.
Spectacular in it. Yeah.
Did you watch Mare of Easttown?
Spectacular.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. What's your go-to like coffee order?
I've been drinking the same coffee for 150,000 years and I will drink it forever. I have 3/4 cup coffee, 1/4 cup whole milk, and 3 sugars.
Three sugars?
Every morning. Are you a 1 cup a day or do you multiple cups a day?
2 cups and then I'm done.
Love that.
One when I first wake up and I'm leisure and 1 after I stretch.
Nice.
And then we're done. And then I first thing I do when I get out of bed is drink a big thing of warm water with lemon. I've always done that my whole
life.
That's
what I have right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to drink it warm, never cold.
Okay, fine. I'll heat it up after this then.
don't drink cold water. It's not good for women. It's good too. That's the myth.
Okay. Who's the most famous person in your phone?
The most famous person in my phone. I don't want to say like a pop star person. I would say
Rihanna. Is Rihanna?
You know, I was like, is it Rihanna? Or I feel like he's like Buckingham Palace on speed dial.
You know what? I have famous people on my phone, but who? I think the better question is, you know who I really? That's a good question.
Okay, or who's the most famous person you recently texted? Yeah,
name a few. It doesn't have to be one.
You could just scroll through right now and tell us. We're totally fine with that.
Let me just give it to him. I would say that Andy Cohen's my most favorite person.
Oh, okay, okay. We'll take that. What's Len up to today? Like, where
Len
is she today?
Len is here. She is in her office. Len, literally, there could be a whole. If you ever need to find Len, she calls it her office. She's in the back ironing. That girl can iron anything. I don't know where I have a linen closet. That's like no other. That thing is so sharp. I have to be careful when I take a sheet out, it'll cut my finger. I mean,
she's on top of things.
There is never in your life going to be an ironer like Len. She will iron everything. She would iron your hair if she was in front of you right now.
I used to do that before before straighteners. I would do
and I'm always like, Len, you don't need to iron my thong. She's like, no, Misty, it is very important for folding. I'm like, all right.
Well, I mean, I was wondering if you still got like free dry cleaning from Madame Paulette, because I know you used to take your underwear there too. So now it's Len ironing.
I miss that. I miss that as much as I miss John.
The perks that come with it. I mean, how could you not? Like now it's like you have to take it in and just be so much easier dropping it off.
I literally was like, maybe I should just have a one night little fling with them just to get a couple things done. I'm like, by the way, before we sleep together, could you just deliver these?
I have a few dresses.
Oh God. I'd love that. Okay. Where, like, we know Princess Diana is very much your doppelganger, but if you were going to have someone play you in a movie, who would it be?
Sarah Paulson.
Oh,
love her.
What's your favorite?
I think she would do a great Dorinda Bentley.
Oh, for sure. And she's like a fan too. So I feel like she'd really dedicate her time.
Yeah. She'd be a great Dorinda Bentley.
What's your craziest fan encounter?
My craziest fan encounter. I have a really crazy fan. This is going to be scary to you.
Oh gosh. Is it like the stalker again?
I was one day sleeping in my bedroom and I'm a big window open person, as you can see by my house. Like,
yeah,
I'm not a big air conditioning person. I love the windows. Luckily those are locked every once in a while. And one day I was laying in my bed And I'm literally, it's like, well, 4:30. And I hear, doing the medley, doing the medley. And it's just me and Len here. And I'm thinking, oh God, it's happening. Like there's someone in this house, like someone, and I just had arrived from the city. So I was like, oh, I was going to lay down for 30 minutes. And I'm thinking, God, well, maybe it's not. And then I hear, doing the medley, please, please. So I go over to my window and I look down and there's a woman outside my bedroom window. Okay.
How old is she?
25, 26.
Okay. Young.
With two huge, like those shopping bags you see in Chinatown with the stripes on and the plastic ones.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, so I don't want to panic at Len.
Sure.
So I could.
On your property, someone literally banging on your window, yelling, Dorinda.
No, no. It was at my bedroom door. So she was throwing rocks on the second floor. So I go down and I'm like creeping down and I'm like making sure all the, so I go into where Len is, of course.
Yeah. She's ironing away. Ironing away.
No care in the world.
What she's doing, because we just arrived 10 minutes later. I'm like, fuck the iron. She goes, what is it, Ms. D?
There's someone there.
She's like,
so then you did you just like pretend you were
very
home?
Military.
Yeah.
She's very military. Like my house is locked up. Like if she knew these were open right now, she would be not be happy. If I come to the door, she comes, she's right behind me locking it.
Okay.
So I said, yeah, but I said, don't say anything. Just like I just called 911 and press the panic button and get up.
Yeah.
So before I know it, as I'm waiting for the police to come, because I'm like, she goes upstairs to my window. She opens up the window. She goes, you, what are you doing here? Trespassing on my property.
Oh, my God.
What happened? Did the person leave?
Nope. She evoked her rights. She had to stay long enough until she could. We had to call mental health people. And you had to prove that. Yeah, it was like a 3-hour ordeal.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So do you think she followed you from the city?
Yeah. You know, I never went out there because they wouldn't let me go out.
Mm-hmm.
I actually felt sorry for her. At one point I said to the police, maybe if I go out and talk to her, he's like, you really can't.
Yeah. Oh my, wow.
She just That's, really loved you.
It was sad.
Yeah.
Totally. And you know what she said? The police said to me the next day, because I know the police because I grew up here. So I said, Tim, whatever happened? They took her to the station. She left. She said, don't worry. I'm just staying in the motel inn down the road. I'm sure I'll run into her. I'm like, really? Don't you believe her?
They're like, no, you need to send her back.
But they literally, she, you know, hence oh to say God. I spent another like $10,000 on my security after that.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, there's cameras everywhere. And oh my gosh. So your book is called Make It Nice. But what's outside of that one? Like, what's your most like, favorite infamous line that you had copped while on the show?
Not well, bitch.
So
it,
good.
It is. I often reference
literally,
it.
I use it all the
not
time.
Not well, bitch, and followed probably shortly by Clip. Everybody loves Clip still.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to be honest, and Mary, keep me, like, let me know too. I actually didn't know that what the meaning behind Clip was. I thought it was just you being funny, like, Sonia, like, enough. And then when you're like, oh no, it's like you're stopping someone from talking. I'm like, oh, that
yes.
makes way more sense. I never connected it. I just was like,
really?
Which is so dumb on my part. Mary, did you know that?
It.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now it makes sense after the fact of like reading it. I'm like, oh, yes, duh.
I'll never forget how. And I
can
so
see
hungover.
You right
I
now.
I was so hungover in that scene. I wanted to not even come to that scene because I was so, I'd been like, somewhere, God knows.
You were out, John, the night before. It was a shampoo effect. You had like one drink and it was like, I'm back.
Yeah, no, I was
I know.
Redrunk. I was redrunk.
You yeah. I remember talking about this on the podcast. I go, oh no, she had a night out and she had one more drink and it was like,
I was like done.
And yeah. You were just like,
and I was so sick of this whole stuff about the, I never was interested in Tipsy Girl. I never engaged in I never talked to Bethany about Tipsy Girl. Tipsy Girl just wasn't on my radar, you know? Yeah. So it was just, I was just like, okay,
enough.
Now we've had enough.
Yeah. Enough. And then
so
what
how are you guys enjoying the season this year?
We're missing some people.
What do you think of the season this year?
I think it's hard because it's a COVID season in general, but I don't think that we have, I think we're missing.
You really think it's COVID? That's good for you.
Personally, I would. Personally,
do you expect all of us to be honest on these podcasts?
No.
I think it's a hard season because of COVID, but I don't think we have housewives that are like a diet. Like, there's no quotable quotes in this season.
What do you think of Beverly Hills?
I love it.
One of their best seasons.
So wait a second, is there not COVID there?
They have eight, though. I think with five, it's very hard. No, but I think we're missing people completely.
I think it's very hard in New York City to film in COVID. Yeah. The great thing about Beverly Hills, they're very lucky, and New Jersey, is they have space. Mm-hmm. They have big houses. They have outdoors. New York is all about New York.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally always the extra housewife.
And you got to remember the characters, too. People like Ramona and me and Lynn, we have people. So it was always the background of people. Mm-hmm. Harry Dubin's, the parties, the birthday.
I would love to see you unpaused. Yes. And I would also love to see Tinsley come back. I think there's more. I'm hoping there's more to come.
Yeah, I never know.
I think we could have had the whole season at Bluestone Manor, to be honest, and I think it would have been 10 times better.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think they'll probably, you know, who knows? It was a tough season, but I still, you know, individually, you know, the girls are, it was a hard season for Leah to come back to because she just, it's, you know, people think because you're 1 year, you know what you're doing. It's not. You're barely there. Remember, she felt for 4 months. And the first month, you're just in like, what? And then she has to come back to a second season with me gone, which she had a relationship with, Tinsley gone, and COVID.
Yeah.
And then I think it was a tough season for Ebony to come into during COVID.
100%. I liked what you said in your book too, because you're really honest about like, here's where I was in the first season. Like you said, like, I'm just trying to like get my footing. And then you're like, and then you have that second season glow up. And that's something we always comment on. Like someone realized over the season, you're like, yeah, because you just come in not even understanding the game, even knowing it is a game. And you have to like, you have to up yourself because you have to kind of keep up now that you're a face that everyone recognizes.
You gotta up the games. Well, because you watch yourself, you're like, wait a second. Why do I talk with my hands so much? Why do I walk like that? This needs to be changed. I hate my hair color. I need to lose weight. I hate that top on you. Like,
yeah,
it's Ramona just, taught me a lot of that. Ramona's the expert at that. Every season, Ramona gets 10 years younger. I think this
Benjamin
year she's gonna
Button.
I call her Benjamin Button. I was the first one to call her that.
Yeah. Like literally.
Her Kyle Richards gets younger. Wendy's looking great. Potomac.
Although you know what? I don't know. I'm like toying with the whole plastic surgery thing. I just don't know. Cool. I might do my eyes at some point, but it's scary, the plastic surgery
thing. Yeah. It can go really far.
I mean, I think you look wonderful. So I'm thinking, absolutely. But I also understand that everyone wants a tune up at some point. So if that's where you feel you need to go.
You gotta be careful because a lot of times when you start that process, it goes from beautiful to bad very fast.
And we have some people we've seen on screen that has happened too. Yes. We won't name names, but yes.
Well, girls, I think that I'm going to have to go because I'm getting the ring.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
I think that was fun, no?
We had a blast. Go buy Dorinda's book. It comes out Tuesday, August 17th.
Before you go. As young girls, do you think you learned some great lessons from the book?
Absolutely. I feel like I loved your honesty and you being like a really like hard worker and like things don't just come to you and you gotta keep it real and go with the struggle. And then I love that you always find like the silver lining in your darkest moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, buy my book anywhere where books are sold.
Tuesday, August 17th. Make it nice. Dorinda, thank you so much
for being here.
We appreciate
it. Bye-bye. Have a good one. Bye.